All right. Praise the Lord on this Lord's Day, Sunday morning, June 19th. Happy Father's Day to all of you out there that are watching by way of live stream, all of you that will be listening by way of the sermon audio recording. We've got a blessing and a treat for you this morning. Been praying for a long time for help, and I don't mind doing it, but I'll just tell you right now, I'm spread pretty thin. I got a great man of God that I look up to, treasure in many ways. The man we're going to be teaching this morning, Brother Mark Hurt, which was pastor before me, much greater than I'll ever be. I got a lot of love and respect for him. Brother Mark's going to teach for us this morning. And you be like me, you listen in. I believe it'll be a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, he's my elder in the Lord. My senior when it comes to preaching, and me and him both, we walk with God, and we both in the same predicament. We both need the help of God, so you pray for him as we invite Brother Mark to come up here and teach whatever he wants. The Lord puts on the heart this morning, going to be teaching the Word of God. Come on, Brother Mark.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Brother Adam. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was telling them here just before we got started that I get all my thoughts together in my head, and I'm going to be doing some teaching on the King James Bible and the importance of it to us and the historical part of it and the spiritual part of it. Brother Eddie said y'all been teaching in the book of Genesis, which is, As J. Vernon McGee said, this is a seedbed of the Bible, and everything flows out of the book of Genesis.
True.
That's right.
This is, I know you've done, went into the, gone through the creation.
Yeah.
And God's commands are still just as prevalent today as they were to Adam and Eve when he gave them that warning.
Amen.
And we live in a day where people, they don't fear God.
Truth, no fear of God for them.
And, you know, people think, well, I can just do wrong, and God ain't done nothing to me. Well, you know, just because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, don't mean he's not going to.
Right.
And, but as we just, I'm just looking at this chapter 6 as we come in and we start seeing the effects of the fall of man.
Right.
When Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord and partook of that fruit that God told them not to, then they died.
Yeah.
They didn't physically die, but they died spiritually that day.
Amen.
And ever since that spiritual death, It's just been one of those things where I think as Vance Havner said that man was created a little lower than the angel, and he's been getting a little lower ever since.
Amen.
And that's probably true.
Amen, brother Mark.
That people are, you know, I don't know if people are as bad as they could be, and I don't think I'm as bad as I could be. Except for the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen, Mark. Yeah.
Because even though you're saved, you still got a sinful flesh that you have to live in and deal with. And your flesh didn't get saved when you got saved.
Amen.
It's your enemy.
Right.
And as we just look a little bit at this chapter 6, as we start coming into God, you know, of all the creation, the things that God created, the only thing that ever gave him trouble was man.
That's right.
And he still gives him trouble.
That's good.
I don't know. I just ain't never seen nothing like it in a day. That, I mean, you couldn't have convinced me when I was growing up that I would see the America that I'm living in today.
True. Oh, my.
True. But it just didn't happen overnight where we live. It started way back.
Yes.
In the book of Genesis.
Yes.
And it's just gone through. I think Charles Spurgeon said one time, he talked about sin, and he talked about the things that took place in the Old Testament, how God originally had to cover Adam and Eve, And then on into the tabernacle and the sacrifices and all the things that they went through. Mm-hmm. He said God chased sin all the way through the Old Testament, yeah, and he caught up with it at Calvary.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And so, of course, you know, the prophecy of Christ was prophesied all the way back in the book of Genesis.
Right.
And God keeps his word.
Right.
And so here in chapter 6, it says here, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, I know we live in a day where a traditional marriage seemed to be offensive to a lot of people.
Yeah.
They say, you know, we've gone into the sodomy and all that other stuff, but it's still right, even though the things they done here is wrong. It's still right for one man and one woman to be married, not to one of the other kind. You can't go to a farm and get two bulls make a cow.
Right.
It don't work like that.
That's right.
God never made it work like that. But now, we got to remember that God is a God of love. Mm-hmm. He showed it when he gave his son to die for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he does not, and he will not, look over evil.
That's right.
No.
And it may not be a judgment today, which I believe we can say some of the judgment hand of God on this country for the wickedness we're living in. And but I tell you, before we get in farther, let's pray. Really, you can't do nothing until you pray.
Amen.
But you can't do nothing. There's nothing you can't do after you do.
Amen.
So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in your house today, and for this beautiful morning that you give us, and this Father's Day, as we come to magnify your name together and look at your word this morning for a little while. And Father, we just pray for the needs of others this morning. God, those that are sick, physically sick, sinfully sick, I just pray for this nation, Father, and Lord, the ungodliness that's going on. And Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for loving us and loving me when I couldn't love myself. I thank you for saving me, and I thank you for keeping me that way.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, I ask you to bless the Word of God today. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd help me and give me a mind and touch my heart and my mind today and help me to rightly divide the word of truth today. And I'll give you the praise and the honor for it. These things I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Now, verse 3 of chapter 6. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. Now, I'm not God. I won't ever be God. I don't know. I know what he said, that God will not repeatedly deal with somebody, and not them not take the chance that God cut off that striving.
Amen, Mark.
Let's go over to the book of Proverbs. Let's look at, chapter 29, I hope. Yeah, chapter 29, the book of Proverbs. Look at verse 1. The Bible said, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck.
Yeah.
Now, notice what it said. I didn't say this.
That's right.
Shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy.
Yeah.
Now, man may do the hardening, but God does the reproving.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
And it said, he shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Something that's without remedy can't be fixed. There was an old preacher, and I know he's been dead several years now. His name was J. Harold Smith. And he preached a message called God's Three Deadlines.
Yeah.
Heard it.
And he brought out some really good stuff on those things. I know one of them was sending away your day of grace. The other one was blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And the other one was, when you do something that God tells you specifically not to do, and you do it anyway, and you go against that deadline, and God's going to cut you off. And the proof of that was Moses. If you remember, God told him to speak to a rock. Now, you know, if somebody seen you out in the parking lot today, well, how you doing, Rock? they think you're crazy. And I'm sure they probably thought the same thing about Moses, speak to the rock. And what was going to happen when God, when Moses spoke to that rock? There's going to be water come out of it. And Moses didn't speak to it, but he smote it. But even in that smiting, God still gave them water. But if you remember, when it come time to go over into that promised land, God let Moses see it. But he didn't let him go. And so he went against a direct command to God, and it cost him. He crossed that deadline.
Yes,
he did.
And God hasn't changed today. And yes, I don't know. I know we live in different societies and different things go on. But we're going to see today that the what all boils down to what's wrong in this country is wicked hearts. We can blame it on president. We can blame it on the White House. We can blame it on church house. We can blame it on your house, my house. But when it gets right down to it, it's wicked hearts. Wicked imaginations, evil thoughts, evil deeds. And, you know, these people just sit around and think about wickedness. And, I mean, we live in it. We can't do nothing about it. Here we are. We live in America where we are in a mess. But now, that's what it said. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always drive a man, for that he also is flesh, and yet his day shall be 120 years. Now, the reference to the 120 years is talking about the time that Noah took to build the ark. So what God said to me, and the way I understood it, was as we get in, as you get in on into chapter 7 and chapter 8, when God gave Noah the instructions to build the ark, for that 120 years that Noah and his sons and their wives and his wives worked. In the New Testament, it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So I not only believe he was working, but I believe he was preaching. Judgment's coming. It's going to rain. God's going to destroy this place. 120 years they heard that. And how many people got saved? Only the eight. And show you how merciful God is. When God told Noah to come into that ark, him and his house, he left that door open 7 days. Now you think about that. I think I preached a message here one time. If you only had 7 days to live, what would you do? God loved them. He gave them 120 years. And then he gave them 7 days. And they still didn't believe it. And then what happened? God shut the door. The reason why God shut it, because if Noah had shut it, then Noah could have opened it. But when God shut it, he couldn't open it. And don't you know them people on the outside of that ark when it started? See, it didn't just rain. But the fountains of the great deep were broken up.
Right.
Whales.
Yeah.
The way I understand that. For 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine what them people thought when that water started getting around their ankles and their knees? And don't you know they were beating the door of that ark?
Yeah, we believe now, Noah.
But you know what? They had 120 years and 7 days to get right.
Yeah.
Amen, Brother Mark.
Yeah, that's right.
And people still won't do it.
Amen.
No. They won't. You're right.
I mean, the hard part of salvation was done at Calvary for us.
Yes, right? Lord.
But getting a sinner to the place where they own up that they need God.
Amen.
They need the Lord. They need to be saved.
Yeah.
Is it ain't changed. They still sinful.
True.
Going on. Now, it didn't just rain for 40 days and 40 nights, but the water continued to rise.
Yeah, that's right.
And it rose
over the
mountain. I'm just giving you the best I can remember on this. It rose about 50 feet among the highest mountaintop,
right,
which was Mount Ararat.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I studied that out one time, and that would have put the depth of the water over the face of the earth about 3 miles deep.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you may be Johnny Weissmuller, and you may be the best swimmer in the world, but you ain't going to swim no year in 3 miles of water.
That's right.
They didn't have nothing. They didn't have nothing else to get into. The only safety was the ark. And they had the opportunity, and he told them, I'm not always going to strive with you.
That's right.
It's going to be 120 years. Noah's going to be working on this ark.
Right.
And I believe Noah worked. I believe he preached.
I do too.
Yeah.
I believe he told them judgment's coming.
Yeah.
And you know, to be honest with you, Noah didn't know what rain was neither. He had never seen it.
No.
They never had rain. Everything from the earth was taken by the dew of the earth. It was watered by the dew. So Noah was doing something that he didn't have no idea what it was going to look like when he got it done.
Right.
And he didn't know what was going to happen when he did.
Amen.
Other than he believed God said, I'm going to destroy it.
Move with fear to build an ark.
I heard a preacher years ago, was at a service in Camp Victory up in Somerset, Brother George Griffiths. I don't remember who it was preaching that night. And you know, when when God started to receive the water, Noah got off the ark, you know, Noah got drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, the reason why Noah got drunk is because he come out of a building program lasted 120 years. So that's pretty good thought, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's sad today that you can't get people to believe what the Lord says.
True, Brother Mark.
They believe a lie.
Yeah.
So they believe truth.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that God said, and we read it there in the book of Proverbs, that he that being often reproved hardeneth neck shall suddenly be destroyed.
See,
when God expects his debts to be paid, you're either going to pay them through the blood or you're going to go to hell and try to pay them the rest of your eternity.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And so wickedness is still the same problem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Stems from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had 120 years to get right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think if a person ain't going to get right in 20, he probably ain't going to, you know, I don't know. Like I said, they were facing something they really hadn't seen. They hadn't never dealt with. I know what the Bible said, that it repented the Lord that it made them.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Like I said, the only creation ever given problem was man.
Mm-hmm.
He don't have a problem with birds.
That's right. No. Ain't no other creation.
You know, he provides for them, but he ain't gonna go out and dig the worm for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he provides, take care of them. But they were facing judgment. And Noah worked and preached and worked and preached.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, One of the questions is that you get into when you get into the flood, and my wife's brother, Ricky, he didn't believe in the universal flood. He didn't believe it was a worldwide thing. And I've heard this before many times, that he believed it was just confined to the region of Mesopotamia. And I asked him one time, I said, well, Ricky, let's suppose you're telling the truth. Why would God have Noah to work for 120 years on an ark when he could have just given him enough sense to walk out of it in 6 months?
Hey, man, that's pretty good. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, wouldn't that be stupid?
Yeah.
And, you know, he gave the animals the wisdom to come to Noah. Couldn't he give them the same wisdom to go out of Mesopotamia?
Yeah.
They got a fossilized fish on top of the mountains down here. Fossilized fish on top of the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's proof of the.
Oh, it's proof.
Yeah.
I mean,
fossil record.
You can deny it, but it don't change the fact that it's true.
That's true.
Amen.
You know, and man, you know, all you hear is millions and millions of years, and all this. You know, the Grand Canyon didn't happen over millions and millions of years. It happened when the flood waters receded.
That's right.
You know, when you get a hard rain, and I've seen it in my own driveway, you got gravel and you get a hard rain, you start getting little valleys.
That's right.
Well, you think it's going to happen when you get a rain that God sent, it's going to happen to the earth. And all of this stuff took place, and like I said, I mean, there's evidence of it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, of course, you know, people in the past have claimed they've seen the ark on Mount Ararat.
Yeah.
You know, I say they ain't. I don't know. But even if you didn't have that, you still got evidence that the flood was real.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked Kay's brother, I said, okay, let's say that you're right and it wasn't a use of universal flood. And the reason was for the flood was to bring judgment upon the wickedness of man.
True.
What did he do with the rest of them?
Yeah.
If he just took it to Mesopotamia, then the rest of the world didn't get judged. But when God judges, he judges fairly.
Right.
That's
right.
Amen.
And it won't be according to what I think or you think, but it'll be according to what he says.
That's right.
Amen. You're going to do this, I'm going to do this.
That's right.
So, for 120 years, Noah and his family worked on that ark. God told them, I'm not always going to strive with you. You got 120 years, and he loved them through his mercy to give them 7 more days.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, when God's done with you, he's done with you.
That's right.
Now, I've heard people talk about, and different people say, you know, what I talked about there in the book of Proverbs. I personally knew of one man specifically that fit what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. When we were going to church at Riverview Baptist Church in Bowling Green back in the 80s, Brother Ricky Jones was their pastor, and there was a man that come to church, and he drove an old International Sea tractor to church. His name was Mayburn Gill. Wasn't married. Always wore bib overhauls, sat in the back of the church. I don't know, one Sunday after church, and I'm just standing around, and I heard Brother Ricky talking to Mayburn. And he said, Mayburn, I'm going to ask you a question. He said, are you saved? He said, you come here every week and you sit and you partake and you're here, but it seems to me there's something missing. And he said, are you saved? And I heard Mabron say this, and I heard it come out of his mouth. He said, well, preacher said, for years I come to this church and the Lord dealt with me about being saved. He convicted me about being saved.
Yeah.
He said, they would be Sundays, it would be so strong, I just cry.
Mm-hmm.
I cry all night because the conviction was so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I come one Sunday and it was stronger and more pushing and more urgent than it had ever been in my life. And I told the Lord, said, Lord, if you just leave me alone this week, I'll do something about it next. And he said, ever since that day, the Lord has never troubled my heart again.
Wow, my.
And he said, I've come to church here and I've waited and hoping and praying that God will give me one more chance. And as far as I know, man died without God.
Oh.
You know, there's a lot of things I've done in my life as a Christian. Even when I lost, that I ain't proud of, wish I'd never done. I can't undo what's done. But I pray I'll never get to the place that I would just ultimately turn God away. That he quit dealing with me. Man, that would be an awful. To think when God pulls a plug on you, you got no, there's nothing.
That's right.
Godless all work of repentance must be repented of. Need that godly part.
Same, we were going to church at Riverview, and up the road just a little bit, there was a man, his wife come to church and her kids. His name was Buck Finn. And people talked to him, witness to him. He just he just wasn't interested. One day, I don't remember exactly, he was fooling with a lawnmower or something and spilled gas on him, and somehow it ignited and burned him really bad. And he was at Greenview Hospital, and I went one day to talk to him, and they had him bandaged up, and I was talking to him. And he said, man, this is painful. Said, it hurts. I said, Buck, let me say something to you. If you don't get saved, get right with God, this ain't nothing compared to what you're going to face.
Right, that's right.
And one Wednesday for church service, Brother David Daugherty had stopped by to see Buck. Talked to him about his soul and didn't want nothing to do with it. And I don't know, sometime during the church service that evening, their home caught on fire and burnt. And so there was an old house right across the road from them that somebody owned there, and they let them live in it till they could get things straightened up. And I don't know, they'd probably been there a week, maybe. And one day, Buck had a massive heart attack and died. And as far as I know, he died without God. And I didn't say anything, but I remember us being at J.C. Kirby down on Broadway, and Buck was laying in the casket, and his wife, Jean, looked at him and said, well, he's better off than we are. And I thought to myself, no, he ain't. And let me tell you, it's dangerous. Boy, when you try to play games with God, yes, he's merciful. I'm glad he is. And yes, he's loving, and I'm glad he is. But he will not. Will not. He will not continue to allow wickedness to go and go and go without a punishment of judgment.
Right.
And when you do like these people did here in Genesis, they had 120 years.
Right.
And when God shut them out, they were shut out.
That's just right.
God kept Noah and his family, all those animals, on that ark. Waters was upon the earth for a little over a year. Then the water started descending. Of course, it was Noah and his family. And then God told them to bring the animals in two by two, male and female, of the unclean. And then the clean went in by sevens. And they had to have something to eat. You couldn't eat unclean animals because they're still under law. And when they got off the ark, they was going to have something for sacrifice. You couldn't sacrifice unclean animals. So they had to have them by sevens so they could have food and offerings. But now, notice what's in verse 4. What time? 10:30. there were giants in the earth in those days, and also that when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same mighty men were of old, men of renown. Now, it says giants in those days. What we're looking at here is pre-flood. Now, before the flood, animals, lions, bears, and tigers, oh my, and all that other stuff, were vegetarians. Mm-hmm. They didn't eat meat. They ate vegetarian. Now, what says giants in the land, I believe they were giants.
I do too. Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe in dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I just don't believe in the dinosaurs of evolution.
No, that's right.
You know, you can get a lizard in today. Them,
dragons.
I can't think of what you call them. But anyway, some of those lizards in today's society, in so many years, they can grow to be 18 to 20 feet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine one of them living 120 years?
Oh.
What about Goliath,
mm-hmm.
the champion of Gath?
Mm-hmm.
He was about 9'6".
Yeah,
he pretty good size.
Yeah.
So I believe they were dinosaurs. They were giants mm-hmm. in the day because they lived in the pre-flood where oxygen was 100%. People lived long. Methuselah lived,
969.
Noah lived to be old age.
Yeah.
So anything before the flood was different than it is after the flood.
Right.
Now, I don't know if y'all have ever heard of a man by the name of Carl Ball. He's a creationist. He's a scientist, smart man. I tell you, man. He owns a museum down in Glen Rose, Texas, and he does archaeology and digging up of all kinds of things. And he went to a professor at Texas A&M. And he took a piece of coal to him, and he laid it on his desk. And he knew that professor was a evolutionist. He didn't believe in God. And he said, "I'd like to ask you a question. Here's a piece of coal, and they had already had it checked, and it was certified. It was coal. And he said, could you tell me, in your thinking, how long it took to make that piece of coal?" He said, "Well, at least 15 million years. He said, "Really?" I said, "Yes, sir. It'd take at least 15 million years to make a piece of coal." He said, "Well, I made that coal in my lab, in my museum, in 24 hours. He said, "You're lying." He said, "I'm telling you, I made that piece of coal in my lab in 24 hours. And he took him back to the place where, and he had what was known as a hyperbaric chamber. And what it did was it mirrored the conditions of the flood, what it was like before the flood.
Okay.
Now he said, "You need, I think, four things to make coal. You need water."
Yeah.
Man, they had an earth full of it.
Oh yeah.
He said, "You need heat."
Mm-hmm.
It's hot.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "You need non-organic material, not plant life, stuff like that. It'd been like flesh."
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine all the dinosaurs and stuff that was at the bottom of that water?
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, "You need pressure."
Mm-hmm.
You imagine the pressure that was on this earth in 3 miles of water.
Right.
Wow.
And he took all of that and duplicated it in that hyperbaric chamber with that professor said he made sure that they weren't sneaky. In 24 hours, he brought out a piece of coal.
Yeah. Mm.
My guy said, "That's impossible." He said, "It is, but it ain't with God."
Right.
Hey, man.
That's right.
In one of his digs, and you can go online and look at the museum down in Glen Rose, Texas. They got pictures of it. They found a rock that they said would have been millions of years old, and they noticed something looked like was in it. So they started chiseling away at it, and they found a forged hammer.
Yeah, I've seen that.
With a handle.
Yeah.
Inside that rock.
True.
So they strike a little place on it just to get a little material on it, and they checked it, and the stuff that was there was, I don't say common, it was fairly common, but they couldn't get it to stick. It wouldn't bind for some reason. And so Carl Ball, before he got this pressure chamber, had this idea. He said, "Well, why don't we send this up on one of the shuttle missions? And let's see what happens to it in space." And in space, you got pressure. You got all those things. And he said, when they put that together, it just stuck.
Wow.
He said, so that tells me that had to happen before the flood, because it wouldn't stick after the flood. And he ain't no dumb cookie.
Amen.
You know, all kinds of atheists and stuff have questioned him and all this other stuff. And I mean, they got proof after proof after proof after proof after proof after proof that the flood was real.
Yeah.
And things happened during that time to these giants in the land. And so as things transpired through the years, I don't know if y'all have ever seen it, but one of my favorite hands-down movies, in 1960, black and white, called Inherit the Wind. And what it's based on was back in the 1920s when they had that Scopes trial down in Tennessee,
yeah,
where that professor was charged with teaching evolution.
Yeah.
And they had that trial that the senator, he was a Christian man, and then they had that who was an atheist lawyer, and they, you know, they went at it,
yeah,
you know, saying God is, God ain't. And anyway, it's just one of my favorite movies. but anyway, even in the movie, the Spencer Tracy portrays the atheist lawyer, but he really ain't an atheist. But he got strange ideas about God. But they tried to prove that, you know, evolution was real, God, scientific wasn't. And basically all of the teaching and textbooks today come from that trial on evolution.
Wow.
And the Darwin, you know, theory of evolution and all that other stuff. And it's just amazing how, like I said, people believe a lie, but they won't believe the truth.
That's right.
What time y'all usually quit?
About 15 till.
All right, let's get one more verse. Look at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What did I say is wrong with this country? Their hearts.
Evil.
And let me tell you what, God still sees what's going on.
Yes,
he does. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and evil. You can't escape it.
No.
He sees when you do good. He sees when you do wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He saw the weakness of these people's hearts then. He still sees it today.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
And you know what? One of the frightening things to me would be that as evil as this nation is becoming, wouldn't it be an awful thing for God to take His blessings off us?
Oh my.
And He could do it.
Yes, He could.
He says in one of the New Testament books, and I just give you the Mark Hurt version of it, that if we don't take those blessings, if we take them for granted and we still do evil, He's going to take them from us and give them to somebody that appreciates
us. Right.
And I don't want that happening to me.
Amen.
I mean, I'm stingy. I want all the blessings I can get.
Yes, right. I'm here.
And then some.
Amen.
So I don't know. It's just a sad day to see what happened because of one act of disobedience.
Yeah.
What was it? Disobeying the law of the tree in the garden.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
All that took place.
One man's
in one act. And people, all you gotta do is keep the Ten Commandments. They couldn't keep one.
Amen.
How are you gonna keep ten?
Yeah, that's right.
And amen. I mean, the sin of Adam passed upon all men. We got it in us.
Yeah.
And it took the act of His Son to pass upon all men.
Yeah.
Get you saved.
Amen.
So wickedness is a terrible thing. And it's the imagination of their heart was only evil. And notice what it said. It didn't say it was evil sometime. It said it was evil continually. Amen.
Right.
And boy, don't we see what's going on in this country. This is June. And I don't... I'm just saying this to state a point. This is for the Sodomite crowd. This is Pride Month.
Yeah.
I seen somebody on TV... One, I don't know who it was, said, "Oh, I'm proud to be gay. I'm just proud to be gay." And I thought to myself, when you stand before God, you won't be proud.
Amen. Yeah.
And you know, when we was growing up, the rainbow meant one thing.
That's
colors
right.
of rainbow.
Right.
And you know, gay used to mean you was happy. Now you have to make sure you make plain when you say gay, what do you mean by gay?
Yeah.
You know, if somebody used to ask you if you married, there'd be no doubt you married a woman.
Amen.
Nowadays, who knows?
True.
Yes, that's true.
And it's sad. And what is it? Right there. Heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's evil. Amen. Their heart's evil. And it's evil continually. And, of course, we got the big deal fixing to come up about the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely going to overturn Roe versus Wade. Yeah. Praise God. Should have never been put in
Amen.
To begin with.
That's right.
And Harris, the vice president, if that happens, it's going to be awful. And Biden said, if that takes place, it's going to cause another Revolutionary War. Well, what about the people who stand against it?
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
You know, it didn't cause one when they put it in.
Right.
And I don't know, evilness, wickedness, evil.
True.
Evil. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we can blame it on whatever we want, but it all boils down to that.
That's right.
Yeah, Mark. I think I've seen, somewhere on my phone, and I'm pretty sure the year was 2020. There was 900 and some thousand abortions just in that one year. Can you imagine all those babies that never had a chance to live? Never.
Mm-hmm. It's sad. You know, they don't think life begins till it's out of the womb, but Jeremiah was life.
Yeah.
John the Baptist leaped.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you know, they can medically prove today, that a fetus is a living being.
That's right.
Amen.
They develop a heartbeat.
Yeah.
What makes you live? Your heart.
Yeah. Brother Mark, they also passing a law where you can decide whether a baby gets to live or not after it's born.
That's right. Right. That's murder. Well, it's murder anyway. Yeah.
And euthanasia is coming to the elderly because they're going to say you're not contributing to society. I say get me on out here anyway. I'm going home, amen.
That's right.
But it's coming.
Well,
you're right. A godless society, what they want to do is preserve their self. They want to save the planet at the expense of whatever. They're not volunteering us, but that's that problem in that heart. God took his rightful place upon the throne of my heart 34 years ago. Praise God. I wish I'd got in sooner.
Mm-hmm. Yep. One more thing. We'll be done. I've got a book at home. It's called Communism is Alive and Well in America.
Oh, yeah.
Written by J. Edgar Hoover, who was former head of FBI.
Right.
And he makes a statement, and it said, the number one rule of communism is to get the guns out of the hands of people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think about that.
Amen.
Amen.
Good job up in there.
Yes,
it's
a good job.
Oh, yeah. It's just, they don't want us to have guns. We have guns to protect ourselves.